Hey, Dave here from the Breakfast with Manny podcast, which comes from when my co-host Emmanuel, also known as Manny, and I used to meet regularly for breakfast. When we were discussing the shifting landscape of manhood, mostly by sharing our experiences and our struggles, as well as my coaching courses and my entrepreneurial experience, we realized many men could benefit from discussing these topics. So Breakfast with Manny is going to explore the unseen patterns that sabotage men from realizing their potential, healing, and getting the life, sex, career, and health they want, leading to a healthy masculine life. All right. Hey, welcome everybody. It's time for the next episode of Breakfast with Manny. I'm here with my I'm Dave Rosenberg, coach and entrepreneur, sort of, and here with my co-host Manny.
Yes.
How you doing, brother?
Dude, I'm doing very well. How are you?
Cool. I'm good.
We went with Dave for breakfast this week because that's the whole theme of our podcast, because I think we sometimes forget about the reason we're doing this. Yeah. And the reason we're doing this is simple breakfast sessions in which we talk about life. We talk about things that affect men.
Yep.
We talk about a lot of these things. Why? Because we just want to open the conversation up. And you mentioned you had a couple of stories. So to me, these are the interesting things because we need to talk about these things.
Yeah.
We need people to just discuss. I feel like today we're so close. We don't want to talk about things. We're walking on eggshells. So I think that's one of the purposes of this episode. It's like, let's talk. Let's open dialogue. Let's get better together, whether you're a man or woman, doesn't matter.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, obviously being men, we're talking about men, we're talking to men mainly, but I hope everybody watches and listens, and I hope people get a lot out of it. But one of the stories, you know, I wanted to chat about, it was quite interesting. So one of my colleagues knew that I had done, and it's coming, this is going to be a hot episode, about a map for men, how to be a fulfilled man in the 20th century. 21st century. Sorry, I'm off by a century. And that's going to be like, tune in for that one. I swear. It's really fascinating. It's a lot to explain, but basically I misspoke. So what I wanted to say was something around like helping the world who are struggling because of men. You know how we've talked about it.
Yep.
Like, you know, a lot of guys are hurt and hurt people. They lash out and they do shit, but I totally did it wrong. And I said, well, I'm really working on men's struggles, which is also true, but I didn't mean to quite say it that way. Everything happens for a reason, right?
Yeah.
One of my colleagues, a lovely woman, great person, but she just right away, immediately, you know what she said? She goes, don't even start. She goes, oh, don't even start.
Right off the bat.
Yeah. And I'm like, and then I got the squishy feeling, right? You know that like,
Yeah. Yeah.
But like dudes out there, like we're all walking around not really being truthful. And I think that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're not able to be truthful. And to be honest, you know, I did meet someone else a couple of years ago because we'll talk about procrastination on another episode, which is just fear. And I've been afraid to kind of step out and stick my turtle head out, but I'm kind of over that now. Like we're putting this out.
Yeah.
But you know, I met a woman who was definitely more leaning on the feminist side, which is up to her. Like, I don't care. Do your thing. But I mentioned to her, I wanted to do a project for men because I think a lot of men are a bit lost and we don't know what to do or we're hesitant. And sadly there are men that are violent and, you know, and there are men that definitely are crossing lines and we can sensitize men, but without becoming a wet noodle. And, she like, just no, she's like, no.
Yep.
You don't need to do that. You can't do that. Women need help, blah, blah, blah. And women do need help, but we all need help.
Yeah.
But again, we've talked about this. We're polarized, us and them, right? It's like men and women. Like, how do we come together? And I think one of the more interesting things to do that, and I think one of the great weapons I want to like put out there, weapon's probably a bad term. It's a war term, but a great tool is curiosity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I find it crazy that... I think you didn't engage in that conversation, you told me.
Like, no.
You didn't say anything. But I'm under the impression that one of her arguments, and I'm assuming 100% that, but it could have been probably, yeah, you're basically discrediting the pain that women feel right now because you just said that, right?
Yeah.
And to me, it's like completely different topics. Is we can talk about these things. They're both valid things. Like, there's women that have gone through
100%.
Horrible things, and we need to talk about these things. But we also need to talk about the men, because if men don't get better, if we don't get better, if we're not
better people,
how are we supposed to grow as a society? I think in a healthy way. It's if you're avoiding a subject, if you think men are not suffering, which is, by the way, on show and even all humans suffer.
Exactly. Sorry, we're all human beings. So exactly. I don't care how you, whatever your identification is, we all struggle with things. We struggle with our mind, our ego, our heart, the pain, the suffering. We all do. And it's kind of funny. Like, and I've talked to other guys about this, and you know, guys are just like, yeah, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know who to be. And I think it causes a lot of damage. But at the end of the day, it's almost, this is how I felt. I have no idea because I wasn't, unfortunately, I had to catch a flight. I'm going to follow up with her, actually. And I think I'll bring it back to another episode. Because one thing you don't want to do is make shit up. But I felt like kind of walking over to her and saying, like, that was an interesting comment. Like, what were you feeling at that when you said that?
Yes.
And she could say, well, like anything from, well, my last boyfriend like embezzled $1 million from me to anything worse to her dad to like anything. But it would be good to know, why do we discount the anxiety, the depression, the pain? Like, are men not allowed that anymore?
Right.
And I don't know. Like, I hope... But again, it goes back to this dichotomy and this polarization of like men and, you know, one winning at the expense of the other. And I know, and we talked about it on a previous episode, but, you know, I know a lot of women feel very hard done by, and they were, but we're working on it, but we've got to work on it together. I just don't see how women can do it alone.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, and I want to say it right now, right here again, this project is about helping men heal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And talking about new ways of thinking, looking at the world in a different way. And I just like, if somebody's against that, like, please come on the show. Let's have a chat. Let's talk about this. I will be curious about that. Like, let's have a chat about that. Right.
We need to have a dialogue about this. Yeah. And so just to come back to that other point there, I assumed what her argument would be, but I would love, of course, for you to come back.
I'm going
to
verify.
Talk to her, talk, and maybe she has some unbelievable points, and it ends up being a great discussion. Then
for
both of you grow out of that discussion. Doesn't have to end like, don't talk about.
But here's the problem, and this is what a lot of people do, and this is what I see in the world a lot. So, you know, we haven't really talked about it very much, and I don't really want to talk about other podcasts that much, mostly because I'm insecure, number one. Number two, I let people do whatever they want to do. But, you know, a guy like Andrew Tate, right? So we've seen him tap into this, like, there's anger. Men are angry because we, you know, this cutoff, right? It's like, now you have a backlash. And what happens is, here's what you don't want to have happen. Me look at that woman and go, oh, what a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's a feminist, blah, 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 blah. Labeling, number one, right? And labeling is a big function of what our ego does, right? The mind loves to categorize things. So imagine this, dude. In my mind, I'm like, what a bitch. I'm never talking to her again. Versus, what if I'm curious? And I just go over and, hey, I saw you said that. I'm just curious. Like, what were you thinking? Yeah. What were you feeling? What are your thoughts on that? You know? And then, by the way, now we can connect. We can disagree, but we can connect. So...
Yeah. You know, and even if you end up disagreeing with, let's say you find no common, maybe there's none, but just the fact of being curious, of opening up that dialogue, I think says a lot and will probably get us all further than that, what you just said about labeling, cutting off, just saying, you know, no, I don't want to discuss these type of things.
Well, today's dovetailing into the ego really a lot. And it's something I want to talk about because like, I realize personally, like I have a very large protective ego. As we've kind of alluded to, I had a very difficult childhood. I grew up with a guy. My father, unfortunately, had mental disease. Like you name it, he had it. And you know, I started to realize as I did my personal work, and I'm hoping guys start to do their work, that protection is also a barrier to love, connection, a happy life. And so, you know, we're talking about ego. You're reminding me of a story of this disagreeing thing. So I'll give you an example. I have a dear friend, and I hope, I'm not going to say his name, but I hope he doesn't mind me telling the story. As we all know, COVID was extremely polarizing. The vaccine, right?
Mm-hmm,
so I had a buddy who, like, in my mind at the time, I thought he went into a bit of a rabbit hole. And I got to experience both sides because of my training, like, my lack of training on one side and then my training on another. My first reaction, he came out with some stuff that I thought was a bit like, whoa. And so what did I do? I judged him. I'm like, you're this, you're this.
Yeah.
And this is a guy I've known and loved for 25, 30 years, right? He's still the same guy. He just has a new belief about a vaccine. That's it.
Yeah.
But no, most people make it, and I did it. I've done it. I'm like, you're fucking crazy. Like, what's wrong with you, man? And so what did I do? I looked for proof to prove him wrong. Right?
Ego. And then it became very hostile.
How do you think that went? Not very good. So I went back and I worked on it and I let some stuff go. And I said to myself, this is the same guy who I've like been a great friend and who's the nicest guy in the world for 30 years. And I went back to him and I said, like, tell me more about your stuff. But I also decided we get black or white, right? It's like, well, he thinks that, so he's a fucking idiot and we're done. Mm-hmm. And I kind of did that for like not long, but then we had dinner and I made a decision to go like, let's just not talk about that. And I realized he's still the same lovely guy. And so we go to war with people and we just immediately discount them. But I'm telling you, there's people, if you put down your swords, it is really something when you become curious. And here's the other thing. Do you know how boring the world would be if everybody agreed with us?
Yeah.
No. All the time?
I think that's part of the big message that you're saying is we're not saying everyone should be and agree on everything all the time. I think the message here, as you're saying, is be curious. Let's talk. Let's embrace probably all of the other qualities that your friend has.
Yeah.
And not get just our ego lead us about thinking this guy is just whatever.
Right.
Lost because of that thought. But
Yeah.
That's a great point. That's a great point. By the way, are you guys close? I mean, close there?
He texted me like literally yesterday. I'm seeing him probably this week. But like since we got over that, and it's not him, it's me. Since I got over judging him, why do I need to judge him? Who am I to judge him? And I don't actually know the truth. Like, sure, there's a lot of science and like, please, let's not get into the COVID vaccine. I was making the point of just judgment, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to ask you a question. I want to see what you think. And then I do have an opinion as usual. Where do you think this thing where you want other people to agree with you comes from?
Acceptance. Feeling accepted.
Yeah.
I guess, loved to some extent.
Yeah,
I've heard, and I don't know to what extent this is true, but this is maybe on an evolutionary side of things, that we need to feel safe. And so when we want people to agree with us, think like us, be like us, or else it's like, you need to get a...
It's a tribe thing, right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
You want to be part of a tribe. That's part of it. So the tribal connection thing is one. The other thing that I think is we are by nature, and I'll like put me as a 9 out of 10 for insecurity. We want people to live like us because then we feel like we're right. We're okay. You know? And so that's like super important to understand. And like, you know, one of the things I've tried to do in my life is to try to, you know, bend some norms. And it's tough. I gotta say, it's tough to go against the grain sometimes. And you know, my old hockey gang is probably a good example of that. Like the guys I used to play with here in Montreal, like great guys, nice guys. They really like things in a bit of a box, right? And I don't fit in that box. So what happens to me, sometimes I feel like, oh shit, I don't belong anywhere. But maybe I don't want to belong anywhere. Like maybe I want to float in different circles and hear different viewpoints. It's a much richer life. And nobody would ever eat the same meal every day. Well, some people do.
Would you say your boys are different when you're one-on-one with them? Or it's still...
Ah,
yeah? I'm curious because I have the same impression with my soccer team, which is like boys in the locker room. We're a bit of a tribe, if I can say that. And then, but then on one-on-ones, it's very different. Then you get to talk about other things.
I love that, man. I love that. You know, it's funny. I have a great story. So there's a guy who like, you know, humor covers pain, right? So one guy, hilarious guy. And I was in the middle after my marriage of something unfortunate where I just made some bad decisions. But I had met, I think I might have referenced on another episode, but I'd met this really, really sexy woman. She came into my office one day and like hit all my buttons and I was just lost. And she was still living with her ex-husband. She swore he lived in the basement. Okay. She's like, I live in the basement. He lives in the basement. Don't worry about it. Turns out, I don't think that was actually true. So I'm talking to this guy and like, he's always joking around and he's always, nice fucking shot, blah, blah, whatever. Being a, you know, guy's guy a bit, yep. You know, teasing, yep. Which is fun. But we were one-on-one-ing after the game. We had a beer and a bunch of guys left and it was just us. And I just kind of said, hey man, how you doing? Like, how you really doing? He's like, he goes, okay. But he goes, no, talk about me. Like, what about you first? And I said, I've been dating this super hot, like really good looking woman, hit all my buttons. And, turns out her husband lives in the basement and I don't think they're actually broken up. And he's like, oh man. And I go, well, he goes, yeah, maybe it's the time for me to tell you how I'm doing. I go, well, he goes, I'm the guy in the basement.
You're joking.
He wasn't the guy with that girl, but he was living in his wife's basement.
No way.
Same situation. But you're right. There is this group protectionism thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we talked about this. Like, guys want to look cool and we got it all together. And it goes back to our vulnerability episode, which is like, sometimes you got to say, I'm not okay. Because, dude, it makes you feel so much better when you share.
No, I agree.
You know?
And also so. Connecting. I think you gave a great example there of that guy who said, you go first, right? You go first. You talk about things first. But then when you're ready to open up and you're like, I know people take it often to the extreme. It's like, I'm not saying show up to everybody and just start crying all the time.
No.
But being vulnerable helps people connect, right? To help people identify and understand someone else's, or maybe feel even somebody's pain and be like, oh, you know, like I'm also not doing.
Yeah.
Perfectly well. And there's also things going on in my life. Yeah. So but I think that's a really good example.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think I would go to that woman again, the woman who said, don't even start. But I don't know her story. Like, what if I found empathy for her? Mm. Again, it doesn't mean like me going over to her and like hugging her and crying all over her. Like, whoa. Like, no. But what it means is like, when you start to wonder what's behind someone's story, when you start to wonder what's behind our judgment and you just get curious, I'm telling you, the world is a different place.
Yeah.
And for guys, you know, another thing that I really get a kick out of is it's not necessarily more guys than women, but I think maybe more guys like completely putting something down they've never tried. Happens all the time, right?
For sure.
You're like, oh, whatever. Meditation, for example. Like, oh, meditation's garbage. I'm like, well, how long did you try it for? I go, I've never tried it. Remind me not to accept your movie reviews either. Like, what the fuck, you know?
It's a classic.
Yeah. So that kind of shit happens a lot, man. You know.
You know, you mentioned as well that sometimes it's the story you just mentioned is when the girl said that, you didn't answer, right? You were like, okay, fuck it, whatever. You had to go.
No, I kind of froze, to be honest, because I didn't know what to say. But
so we're talking about something now in theory.
Yeah.
You're big on habits, and I know you've made a lot of changes.
Sure, yeah.
How can we just implement, I would say, habits? You know, any tips on how do you change these things? Going again from understanding these concepts to being like, you know what, next time I'm actually going to say something. I want to talk about this.
It's always the same. I'm boring this way, but it's really awareness. So first thing is just notice, and I have a note I want to get in here about ego. Just notice when you're triggered. Like, because one thing I'll guarantee you, it's fast. It's really fast. And when you are triggered, you close. Right? It's hard to be curious when you're triggered. You're just like, your system works that way. So I think the first thing is to just be aware and go, huh. In that situation, I didn't handle it very well. So you know what? I got another story for you, which is really useful. So you know me. I think we chatted about it in another episode where like, if I feel like I'm being ignored by a woman, I get really triggered, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can quickly go like, I'm done. And so I was communicating with a woman and it was very clear to me that my text said like, let's chat Saturday, right? Or on the weekend. And she said, absolutely great plan. And then it occurred to me on Monday, she never called. And I'm like, my old reaction, and this is where like you start to progress, right? So I just didn't have the reaction because I've been more and more aware. And I made the effort to clarify with her. I said, I thought we were talking on the weekend. It's Monday. I don't think Monday is part of the weekend. Ha ha. And she just said, oh. And she kind of just said, you know what? Something was going on to me and I just avoided it. She was super honest and open about it. And that's honestly, cool. I felt closer to her. I started to feel more fondness for her. I felt closer to her because she opened up. And that's what I want to do, right? And that's who I want to be. I don't want to be this guy who just like freaks out and is angry all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talked about it, I think, and we'll talk about it in a future episode a bit more. Anger's like so wild. Anger can be quite useful, right? You can use, there's a guy who did some emotional energetics, and one of the anger's right before courage. So anger is the last of the negative emotions, and then courage is the first of the good ones. You can use anger to propel you to courage. Right? Okay. You can get pissed at yourself. That's when getting pissed at yourself is okay. To take courage, take the next step to become more enlightened or do whatever you want, right?
So that's interesting.
Yeah. But in terms of habits, get in the habit of awareness. See yourself. Like, but also get in the habit. For me, one of my biggest things is, again, needing a protective shell is judgment. I went through a phase where I literally was going crazy. I'm like, oh my God, I'm judging everybody. Mm. I was judging you with your jam on your toast at breakfast.
Yeah, that jokes. No, but
no, seriously.
It's funny because the reality is, and this is something I realized also, is with all the things happened with COVID and stuff, people were really by themselves a lot.
Yeah.
And I felt like that also created a vibe of everyone just judging everyone from the outside. Just like, you know, that neighbor that always looks from the window, like what's going on outside, who's doing what. I feel like that's...
And you know, like I caught myself, like some people were in a close space with a mask, but the nostrils were open. They might have asthma. Like, I don't know.
Mm.
Well, when you're dovetailing into something else, which is really interesting, which is the whole idea of stories and making stories up.
We're very good at that. The ego is, yeah. Right?
So, you know, I think what we're going to do is I'm going to dovetail right into some other stuff. And we'll see if our technical wizard may or may not split our podcast at this point. But this is a great opportunity to talk about this. So I have a client who I was speaking with who talked a lot. So her situation is she just couldn't get over this guy. Even after he was married, he started fooling around with her and she was always just there and he never treated her well, never took her anywhere, never bought her anything. And you know, I like to use humor in my coaching a little bit. I said, listen, like you're not getting this affair thing right. Affair means awesome trips, great sex, and lots of gifts. Like, come on, man, come on, let's go. And she laughed. But what was interesting was she constantly was talking about like, he hurt me, he hurt me, he hurt me, he hurt me, right? And so it's interesting though, when you see the mind is built in a way so that we're not responsible. So we don't have to change because change is just scary to the lower mind, to our basic mind. So she had stories all made up about how he did this and he did this and he did this. But guess who chose him? Guess who stayed? Is her, right? So she would have interpretations. I'll give you an example. So she had a friend who drove by her on the street and she was completely devastated. And I was like, why? And then you realize it's the story that hurts. It's not the actual act. So she said, well, I know she saw me and she just drove right past me. Now that's she has no way of knowing if that's true unless you verify it with the other person.
Yep.
But what's interesting to me is we make up our lives. We make up our own reality. Like you've probably heard that a lot.
Yeah.
How does that work? For example, if she said, oh, she didn't see me, her life would have been different.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Or probably we would have probably better day than what she actually had.
Day, right?
Yeah.
So for me, like where I exercise that now is when somebody cuts me off in traffic, I use two techniques. One is I laugh and I go, I've done that. Number one. Number two, though, I go, wow, that guy's rushing to the birth of his first child.
Hmm. So fair enough.
Because here's the thing. Anger, there's an old saying, everybody's heard it. Well, most people have heard it in Buddhism of like, I think it's Buddhism, but anyway, whatever it is, like, having anger is like eating poison, but expecting the other person to die, right? So I don't want, and I don't want anyone's chemistry to be controlled by other people. And this is the big mistake my client was making that we had to talk about, which is stop with the external stuff. He hurt me, makes you a victim. And when you're the tail of the dog, you're miserable.
Yeah.
Right? So it was really interesting that just because of her patterns and her wounds, we're going to talk patterns in a minute, her patterns, her wounds, she interpreted everything as being against her or being hurt.
The environment, the world, everything is basically against her.
Always.
And what a way to live, though. That's difficult. Imagine like on a daily basis. Well, all the circumstances, everything is, you're a victim basically of the of your environment.
You are. And no, it's all external.
That's tough. That's difficult. And something I'm curious about, because you did some work with her, you told me. But how can you help someone who's been so used to living this way, right? So used to seeing the world this way. It's like a complete change of perspective. And
Great question. So one of the things we realized is, one of the biggest things I do in my work, and again, I'm a like certified sensation-based mindset coach, which means nothing. What it means, though, is we use sensations in the body to delve into what's going on under the hood.
Okay.
Subconscious mind's 90% of our processing. So what do I do with her? We realize, so this is where it gets freaky, but as I mentioned earlier, when you get angry or hurt, there's a trigger, but a trigger isn't the cause. Most of her stuff we were able to trace. So what we did was we go in the body and I said, like, what are you feeling? And most people don't do that. We're all here all day, computing, analyzing, working. And she got better and better at it as we went. And she felt something that was really like a twisting in her stomach. And I just said, just sit with it for a bit. And believe it or not, almost every time a visual will come up. Some kind of visual, some kind of memory. And so she had a memory of when her sister and her were walking home, but her sister went off to be with her friends. She was left all alone. And when she got home, her parents were freaking out. Where's your sister? So classically in our work, we classify wounds as abandonment. You're not lovable. You're not enough. Those are the three biggies. So look at it through the lens of abandonment. So she was beating herself up. One of the things she said to me was, I'm so mad. Well, one of the things I had to make her realize was she was mad at herself. Number one, I'm an idiot. Why did I stay with this guy? He wasn't giving me anything. First of all, usually we're mad at ourselves, and then we project it out. Oops. But secondly, she started to realize that the abandonment was why she stayed, not because she's an idiot. She's like, why was I so stupid to stay with this guy? But if you understand nervous systems, then you understand in the base of her brain, it was like, I can't be abandoned because she was six in that state. And our mind, our unconscious mind doesn't know age. So when we're triggered and all traumatized, she's a six-year-old going, I can't be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the dynamics of that relationship were very father-daughter. So and it was interesting. This guy constantly criticized her, constantly told her what to do. And it mirrored a lot of her dad relationship, right? Which is what people do as well. But it was just super interesting to see how abandonment spread through her whole system. And so, for example, one of her biggest complaints was she had a friend who, when they went away, she'd go on a couple of dates once in a while and leave her. Abandonment.
Right.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Why do you stay in a shitty relationship? Abandonment. Yeah. So what do you want to work on?
And it sucks because you keep reinforcing
the pattern.
Yeah, the patterns there, right? With your decisions there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So in my work, the pattern known as a pattern blown.
And you came back to awareness though, but then I didn't know about that physical way of going physical about way. This.
Yeah.
But that's really cool.
Well, I'll give you another example. So I had another, this was a potential client and she was like, well, you know, show me what you can do a little bit. Like I felt like a little bit like I was auditioning, which is I was, I guess. And I said, well, what's going on in your life right now? And she said, oh, I'm really struggling with my boss. I got a big problem with my boss. I'm like, all right. And she said, you know what? Honestly, I could barely get into work yesterday morning. I had this feeling in my stomach. I go, great. Let's go to that feeling. Nauseous, really nauseous. And I said, do you remember ever having that feeling before? And she's like, no. Oh, shit. I'm like, what? She goes, you know what? I had an ex-business partner. And he threw a case of wine at me in a violent moment. And I just realized I never got over it. And so when you start to dig into these things, like these root wounds, I call them core wound or root wound.
Yeah.
It affects every aspect of your life. So let me make it personal. I was ejected from my house like violently when I was about 17. Like get out now. I have my abandonment stuff. And I get very skittish with people, right? And so I'll tell the full story. So this was really crushing for me. Like not that long ago, one of my buddy's sons came to visit for Grand Prix here in Montreal, which I highly recommend everybody. Serious party. But so he's like, tell me about my dad. And I'm like, oh, I'll tell you about your dad. And I definitely want to tell the story because I think it's hilarious. So this guy, I have to use a right name. We'll use Bill as the name.
Yeah.
So Bill or Billy, we worked together at a restaurant and there were always women that worked on dessert that were really cute. And so he always wanted to hook up with this one girl. We were at a party and it was an outdoor party and he ended up, you know, making out behind a bush with a woman. And so we were somewhere else with the dessert girls at another party and it came out and they started talking and then her friend realized who he was and she goes, oh my God, you're behind the bushes, Billy. And so like I told the kid that story, he laughed his head off. And so it was kind of funny. And he goes, yeah, my dad told me some stories about you. And he says, you're the guy who dates all the like really needy women.
All the needy women.
Yeah. And I was like, ouch. And two of my exes, not yeah, all of hurt. Them were, because he didn't know all of them. But I will say...
Did he actually say that?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Ouch.
Yeah, but, I mean, it is. I guess it's a story he got
But from think him. About this. If your system is worried about being abandoned, what kind of a woman are you going to grab?
Yeah, fair enough.
A clingy one or not? Mm-hmm. I wasn't evolved enough to know it. And I was in the grips of the pattern. So what did I do? I did date women that tended to be maybe, let's say, a little bit insecure. Made me feel better, made me feel big and strong and like I'm wanted and all the shit that I couldn't do on for myself.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Which is a mess. But these are how patterns can ruin your life.
Mm.
And that's why my coaching is based around patterns. Because I want to get right to that bottom layer. Like what's actually going on? So, you know, it's really interesting. So like my first client, the one with the married guy, she's gone from talking to him literally every day. She spoke to him every day, several times a day, slept with him several times a week, being criticized by him several times a week to she's finally broken the chain.
It's done. It's done.
She's done. Cool. Took a long time. It was not overnight, but she really, really did a great job. There's another piece of that story I want to get into. And that is, it's really critical to understand the difference between expectations and expressing your needs. And what I mean by that is, it's interesting. Expectations are always on someone else. And there's a great saying, I don't remember who said it. They said, expectations are disappointments waiting to happen. So fucking true, but it's somebody else. And you can't control other people.
Mm.
But what you can control is yourself. So most people suck at this, express my needs as a mature adult and say, you know, my needs is, I don't know, I need to stay in contact with my loved one. So I'd love to hear from you a couple times a day, how you're doing by text. And she can say yes or no. But you know what I mean by that? Like, yeah. I think it's really important.
No, that's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, that's a big
often,
one.
I think we're often scared. This is also different boundaries, but I think it's cool that you can be upfront about these things. It talks about awareness, right? You talk about awareness of knowing yourself and putting these things out there. I feel like it probably leads to a better relationship. But I also, like you said, the way you said, she can also say no. She can also say, I don't like these rules or whatever. Yeah. I can try to maybe do an effort, of course, to help you there. But that's...
Well, you ask without an attachment to the outcome, right? You just ask and you're like, hey, it's her answer, not mine, you know? So I think that's actually super valuable. This is a recent thing I thought about, you know? And the other thing, I'll go back. I'm going backwards. I'm all over. But another piece of thing, the word, I never broke this word down in my life until 2 weeks ago. And that is responsibility. And I said it that way for a reason. I mentioned how quickly we can get triggered.
Mm-hmm.
But we really need to measure our response ability, our ability to respond. That's what the word means. The word means it's on us. And in a conscious couple or in a conscious relationship where both partners take some responsibility, you can say to somebody, whew, I'm really triggered right now. I got to go deal with my stuff. Not you're a bitch or you're this or you're that.
Yeah.
Very different. And then you come back and you go, hey, look, like when you said X, man, that really bothered me, you know?
Mm-hmm. And have that kind of mature and calm reaction.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry, man. I'm going to check my notes for a second. See what else I got.
What else you got?
I got one more thing for sure. I wanted to get into, let me just see for a second. Got into that one. I do want to talk about one other pattern today, and then we'll probably close it up. Yep. But I do want to do, because I'm telling you, man, these patterns are dominating our world. Another pattern that's big, I've talked about before, is scarcity. Like mm-hmm. everyone's worried about not enough, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But speaking of not enough, the one of I'm not enough is a big one. And here's the reason I think it's a big one. It actually produces results. Like it's actually kind of good. Everything has a good and a bad side. I'm not enough drove me as an athlete, as a businessman, like it drives people. So people cling to it, but it's a very powerful pattern and it can really affect, you know, the way you are in the world.
People would say usually don't think like that because don't think you're not enough because then you're just, you know, putting yourself down.
Yeah.
You're saying there's a positive side to that as well that drove you. Well, they say, right? And this, I heard that from, I don't know, I forgot. I think a UFC commentator, I was watching UFC last weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he said something along the lines of a lot of the most successful athletes went through some traumatic type 100%. Of pain and that drove them to that success. Yeah. And so I like what you said there about looking at the positive side of some of these things, but there are also definitely negative sides of thinking that way. I'm sure.
Well, just be aware of that and know that. Know that some of like, some people never stop, right? They just want to prove themselves and prove themselves and prove themselves. And like at some point in terms of like being at peace, you need to know you're enough at some point. And you know, the area that it came up the most for me, and some people might hate me for saying this, but self-help's a funny thing, right? I'm all for it. I'm big into like, doing work on yourself and all that. But it's interesting because not enough pattern can drive you to go, oh, I'm just one more fucking course from perfect. Like, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just one more course. And one of the guys I saw, I really liked what he said. He said, it's really important. Work on yourself and do your self-help stuff 3 days a week. The other four, for fuck's sakes, live.
Right.
Live. Yeah. Live your life. Right? Mm-hmm. And I did it. I'm doing two courses a day and because I'm just so close. And close to what? You know, enough.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's got to be enough. And sometimes it's time to drive. Like, it's okay to push too. But is it okay to push all the time? In my experience, I mean, how many people do you know? Well, you're too young, but how many people do you know are burnt out?
Yeah. I mean, it's, listen, even at my age, I hear some.
You know, there's a nurse at my yoga studio, like super amazing woman who's 23 maybe. And we just started chatting a couple of times. She's a nurse student. And she said, yeah, I'm kind of burned out. That's horrifying. Like, and you know, of all the things in the world that make us sick and of all the problems in the world, I'm putting stress right at the top. It's up there. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We're doing a stress episode.
I think the ones who lived, for example, in a country such as, you know, Canada, definitely stress has to be one of the leading factors of things we need to address.
For
definitely.
Sure. Yeah, cool, man. Yeah. Hey, before we close, what about you? Anything in your life you want to talk about or any shit going on?
We talked about it before. I feel like there's stories that I feel like sometimes we need to talk about.
Yeah.
But then are involving experiences that you're scared some other people might. Because you've had the authorization and also you have a lot of baggage of experience of stories that you've said. And I think that's good because it helps our audience identify.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. And also, we mentioned this before, but again, we want you to all to be involved. So with all the comments, you leave all that stuff. We're going to read them and we even want to have live commentary and people jumping in. And this brings us back to our first point, which is we want this to be dialogue. You're a coach. You have clients.
Yeah.
But we said the goal of this podcast was to be a conversation. We want people to interact. We want to build a community at the end of the day that's big on healing. I think that's my message for for today.
I like that's a good close. I think, again, we're learning as we go. And, you know, some of what we've done so far, I was thinking about it the other day. Like, I felt like an amateur. And like, but here's the thing, we are amateurs.
You're amateurs.
We're amateurs. Yeah. Like, we're not pros, and that's fine. And how about that be enough? Like, how's that?
Right. Love it.
For now. And I think down the road, like, I really, really want people, certainly want to attract men for sure. And I will to anyone of any sort of identity wants to call in, 100% we'll take it. It's not like that. Our project is geared towards men as men. My experiences as a man, so I think it's more useful. But we'll talk to anybody, and I'm definitely looking forward to digging in with some people on call-ins, and we're gonna do a call-in show.
Even
soon.
People who disagree, or we said it.
Well, 100%.
If you want to talk, let's do it. You know, yeah. We might not agree on everything, which is totally fine as well.
Yeah, but you know, I think I'm gonna close. I am gonna add on one last thing. I probably shouldn't have. I forgot about. I do want to talk about this, and I'm sorry to add it on at the end, but I'm going to. So Montreal Canadiens drafted a guy that some people didn't agree with. Okay. Yeah. A defenseman instead of a forward, not as flashy as the other guys, maybe. Can you believe it? This guy was sent death threats.
The guy was sent death threats?
Death threats.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, can we get a hold of ourselves? And like, the people that sent death threats are probably not going to watch this podcast. But maybe if you are watching the podcast, like, you need to get a life. You need to get your own life if you're going to give death threats to a guy you've never seen play. You don't know. It's completely not the world we need to live in. All I'm saying is take a moment, gather yourself, express how you feel. I'm really disappointed. I'm fucking pissed that they picked this guy. Mm-hmm. But that's a big difference between I'm going to kill you because, like, for what? Yeah, right?
People so online are absolutely crazy. That if you're that person and you're listening now, then probably addressing your own stuff could be also a...
I hope so. Because at the end of the day, going through life, like the world, I'll say one last thing, and I've said last thing 5 times on this podcast. The last thing I'm going to say is based on, like, you know, where we started with that woman saying, don't even start, was I did not want to hate on her because to me, the last thing the world needs right now is more hate. Mm-hmm. And I'll stop there. Then I'll actually stop. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
See you soon.
We're out.